Is Donald Trump God's chaos candidate? My guess says absolutely yes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is a joy to be with you today, and we are going to have one fascinating broadcast. My guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, catalytic thought leader, internationally recognized speaker and business consultant, one of the premier speakers on the subject of cultural transformation. Lance Wallnau has written a book, God's Chaos Candidate, about Donald Trump. And although Lance is not prophesying that Donald Trump will be our next president, he believes that God has raised him up to be like a Cyrus, someone who did not know God yet was used for divine purposes. If you feel that you cannot vote for Donald Trump, or you have a hard time saying that you'd vote for Donald Trump, I want you to call in this hour. Dr. Wallnau will not be intimidated by your questions, and he's probably heard them and thought about them already. And if you don't raise them, I'll raise what I can. And we want to hear his perspective, 866-348-7884. Without further ado, Lance, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, it's good to be with you again, my dear friend.
Yeah, we had a great time hanging out in Dallas. You've been in Israel and back since then, correct?
Yes. I was down at the Knesset and meeting with diplomats, global leaders who... And you would be surprised. I was shocked to see how many African leaders actually like Donald Trump. I wouldn't have expected it. I would have thought that the African American vote is like 90% skewed against him, and it was a very unusual thing. It was just like a sociological awakening, like, oh, the whole world isn't the United States.
Interesting. All right, Lance, let's just start here. We'll take 2 minutes. We've just got a short opening segment. And explain what you mean by God's chaos candidate, and then we'll start to unpack this. We'll go to the Cyrus prophecy. I'll raise my questions, and you'll present your case. What do you mean by God's chaos candidate?
I mean that America is in a serious unraveling, and you know it too. You speak about this. The direction that the Obama administration, the progressives in general, in academia, in media, in politics, you've seen what's happened within culture, within the LGBT community. You're an able and sympathetic, advocate for a Christian worldview. All of this stuff mounted on top of what's going to be a $20 trillion deficit is the end of an era. I am predicting an almost mathematical certitude that America is heading for a fourth crucible, and we've gone through three that defined us as a nation. I don't think we have the moral substance to make it through the fourth crucible. I think Donald Trump is God's provision for this, because America is not a Christian nation. We fell asleep at the switch as Christians. And so God's given us someone who has a Winston Churchill, Lincoln, Thatcher capacity to be shaped and led by the Lord. But we're going to have to accept these individuals on God's terms, not on our holy standard terms.
Now, when you say on God's terms rather than our holy standard terms, if I look at someone like Martin Luther, he was like a bulldozer in a china shop. On the one hand, he took on the Catholic Church and the society of his day, but he had so many rough and violent edges, he did a lot of harm as well. Isn't that a potential danger?
Of course it's a potential danger. And so, and who are we to argue with the Lord over the choice of his instrumentality? And if you read Daubigny's History of the Reformation, you'll even be more shocked at the crass language of Luther. I mean, very crude. And yet, this is the man who was willing to be a martyr for the sake of advancing the word of God and conscience over the tyranny of courts and popes. So God uses Samson. I mean, here's my whole point. The religious mindset is looking for the perfect deliverer. What we have to recognize is that we have a Samson who has a history.
I will tell you what, since
music?
You paused right there, we've got the music playing. You're comparing Donald Trump to a Samson, and Samson has a history, as does Donald Trump. Yeah, but didn't Samson end up dead because of it? All right, let's hear what Dr. Wallnau has to say.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And here's what I read to Mr. Trump. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations. I will go before you and make crooked places straight.
That's the voice of my guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, author of the new book, God's Chaos Candidate. It's selling well. It's creating a lot of discussion. Is it a right word? Is this a prophetic perspective we need to take hold of? Does our church background hinder us here? Are we looking for someone that's more in the lines of a church elder? Or is this another flaky, charismatic idea that we'll end up laughing at? That's the discussion. And my guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, ready to take your questions. If you say, no way I could vote for Trump, or no way God's raising up Trump, or he's going to do more harm than good, give us a call, 866-348-7884. All right, so Lance, right before the break, you compared Donald Trump to Samson, who had his own history. Obviously, Trump has his history. So why don't you finish that point?
Yeah, okay. And it's an important point. We look for a certain kind of vessel. But I believe what you've got is Samson. You got Samson, who had a history with Philistine babes. And that you've got your playboy billionaire right there. But you've got somebody that slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And I'm saying that even though Donald Trump has at times demonstrated a capacity to have that jawbone of an ass, he is the anointed vessel to slay what needs to be slayed in terms of American politics.
And what needs to be slayed in terms of American politics?
The corruption that you have right now in Washington is the collusion of Republicans and Democrats. And this is really only exposed, I think, by the wrecking ball himself, by Trump's candidacy. When in the world was it imaginable that McCain's and Bush's and Romney's, who owe their career to the Republican Party, would actually break with their own ticket and prefer a progressive because they'd rather work with somebody they're familiar with than somebody who doesn't owe them anything or have any connections to them? It shows you how incestuous power is in Washington. That if you don't have some kind of quid pro quo behind the scenes, some alignments and allegiances, and you come in from the outside, you're a greater threat than someone who comes in with the other party's alliances. And it shows that in Washington, there's really no anxiety about the stuff you and I would be concerned about. Religious liberty. That's not a top priority to guys in Washington. They're not worried about Hillary Clinton advancing an agenda that's going to come out against hate speech that's going to target people like you on the radio, Michael Brown. That's not their concern. And so I say that, you know, there is a corruption at a higher level that has to be broken. Trump is the perfect outsider to come in with no commitments to that game and break it up.
All right. Again, as we discussed before coming on the air, I will play the anti-Trump advocate through the show. You're more than able to present your position. So one reason that I supported Senator Ted Cruz, even though he was an elected senator, was that he was Mr. Anti-Establishment, widely hated even by fellow Republicans because of the stance he would take in calling out the Washington cartel. Couldn't he have been a divine wrecking ball without as many destructive habits as Donald Trump?
Yeah, he could have been. And he would have been a preference in terms of no gaffes and sound bites that are going to come out that are going to be incendiary. He's an ideological conservative. And it all goes to the fact that but something came out in him. And I cover it in the book. By the way, right now, the book is like in the top 100 in Amazon.
It's
like
amazing.
Hitting a stride, which is weird. So I just put it out like a week ago. But I cover something about Cruz that I think is important. It's in the failure of Ted to properly reconcile with Donald Trump and Melania before the convention. And here's a guy who's running as my Texan representative and who I could feel comfortable with supporting wholeheartedly. And you know, and when he runs, he reveals the day after his non-endorsement that the issue at heart was his personal offense with Trump and his treatment of his wife and his father. And I say that's okay for anyone who's not running as the evangelical solution to America's problems. If you're going to be a Christian running as a Christian, then you got to get past those personal issues. In the book I wrote, how much better it would have been had he flown to New York with his wife and pulled Melania aside and Donald aside and said, listen, let's talk about overcoming the gap between us. I personally have a lot of animosity in my heart towards you because the way you treated my wife and my father. But as a Christian, I can't live with that. I want to ask you to forgive me. And if he was to walk Donald and Melania through a process of, I apologize to you for hurting Melania, anything that my team has done, it would have modeled something so profound. And who's to say what would have happened if Heidi hadn't put her arm around Melania, took her aside, I'm talking like evangelicals, like we do soul winning, and said, I want to be here to help you. This can be a grueling process. I will be a friend. This would have been the strongest female Christian in Melania's life, probably spared her the embarrassment of having an intern copy Michelle Obama's speech and humiliate herself in public. That's what happens when Christianity doesn't show up raw. How much of this characteristic is in Ted that we don't know about, that God knows about, that maybe God said Ted isn't ready yet? I don't know.
That's a fair answer. The Cyrus prophecy, give us the background to that.
Well, I came back from my first meeting with Trump, and I frankly wasn't even sure what I was doing. I was put on the list of evangelicals to meet Trump because the PR agent for Paula White heard me speak in Tampa. And I did my Seven Mountains, and culture transition and what's happening in America stuff. And the guy threw me on the list. And so I'm up there with people who I don't have a national name or something like that. So I felt like I was kind of like an investigative reporter. So I just sat in a corner and was watching. And before I went there, I heard the Lord say, Donald Trump is a wrecking ball to the spirit of political correctness. So I knew that he was going to change the narrative of the discussion regarding politics. I had no idea if he was anointed to be president. When I came home, Dr. Brown, after that meeting, the Lord, and I'm not one of those charismatics that says, the Lord said, I mean, my God, some people hear God, every day. I don't. But I got this strong impression as I sat there and I'm thinking, what was I doing up in New York, Lord? And the Lord said, Isaiah 45. And I flipped my Bible open because I really didn't know what it was. And then I read, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. And I'm reading Cyrus, who's going to break in pieces bronze, gates of bronze, or there's a wrecking ball. And though you know me not, oh my gosh, this guy doesn't even know God, and he's being prophesied. Then the thought comes to me, 45, is the next president the 45th president? So I look it up, and there's Obama 44, two times, because he gets reelected. He doesn't get a new jersey. He gets the same number. Mm-hmm. And so the next president's 45, and it starts dawning on me. I believe God is saying that Isaiah 45 is a heathen anointed to be able to lead, for God's people's sake, us through the crucible. What I'm saying is the unraveling, the period of intense unraveling. So then I start thinking, oh, my God, out of all those great evangelicals, and I'm talking Huckabee and, Marco and all those guys, Lord, are you telling me the guy that doesn't know you is the one that's got the Cyrus anointing? Then I heard the word common grace. And I go to grab my theological books. I go, common grace, common grace. Common grace is the grace of God that comes on an unsaved person in order for them to be able to come into a sympathy or alignment with God's disposition regarding justice or good judgment. It's what essentially restrains evil in a world where people aren't born again. It's that sense of justice on a court or a sense of fair play in a decision. So common grace is the grace that comes on unregenerate secular leaders like Churchill. Then I start thinking Churchill, Lincoln, Thatcher, even Reagan, whose wife was, looking at astrology. My God, we're always looking for the born again. Well, who's born again? Jimmy Carter, George Bush. Maybe we should stop looking for the Christian candidate and look for the one who's got the anointing for the job. And maybe we need to start thinking that God actually anoints Cyruses who don't know him. That's a shocking theology.
All right. So the question then would be, if you look at what happened with Samson, he did drive back the Philistines. He also ended up dying in the process. And one of the reasons his story is in the Word is to caution us about what happens when you have leaders with an anointing from God, in his case, a very specific covenantal anointing, but the flesh dominates their lives. It can bring destruction on them. Are we just walking into destruction?
Well, and to keep it strictly within the biblical context of what you said, the destruction Samson wrought was on him, not on Israel. what he did for Israel was brought deliverance by destroying Israel's enemies. So my take on Trump is that he had, at 2015, 2016, which is ironic, roughly by the time he did the audio interview, he had discussions with his wife. And this I got this in the book. Third chapter of his life is 2015. When he gets married, he becomes monogamous. He did an assessment of his parenting. He decided he could not afford another divorce. His children could not afford to have the legacy of a father that was plagued on that stuff. And so he changed in 2015-16.
All right.
And that's big.
Stay right there. We come back. I want to start to get to your calls. So stay on the line. Your calls for Dr. Lance Wallnau, the book, God's Chaos Candidate.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today. My guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, his new book, which quickly became an Amazon bestseller, God's Chaos Candidate, Donald J. Trump and the American Unraveling. All right, Lance, let's get to some calls. We got a ton more stuff to talk about. We'll start with Joshua in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, fellas? God bless you both. I was actually just calling to say that, you know, when you look at Donald Trump, all you see is anger. When you look at Hillary, you know, you can remember how she forgave her husband. So, you know, when you put both of them together, hopefully, God willing, you know, he softens up Donald Trump's heart and, you know, makes him a better person. But if he doesn't, then all hell is going to break loose on earth. And, you know, if Hillary wins, you know, God willing, that she stays the way she stays with, you know, with that love in her heart. So I don't know what else to say. You know, that was just something on my mind that I wanted to, you know, tell the people.
All right, Joshua, thank you. All right, so, Lance, let's divide it into two questions. One, do you see Hillary as having love in her heart, and you know, in general, generally speaking? And two, what if Donald Trump's anger could be so volatile that, you know, he might get angry if he can get angry with some Saturday Night Live parody? You know, what's he could alienate our enemies. He could stir up all kinds of division, hostility, anger in America with his temper, with his volatility. So, back to you.
Yeah, that's an important question. So Josh was basically saying, hey, I see Hillary being forgiving with her husband, so she has she must have some love in there, and I see anger in Donald Trump. So have you ever met somebody who expresses their emotions real strongly, aggressively, who actually is loving? I mean, I think Jesus and the prophets fall into the category, depending on the conversation, of saying some really strong things and yet being motivated by love. I'd say the difference between Clinton and Trump in terms of emotional core is that Donald Trump is issue agitated. And in the core of his heart, he's actually, for 30 years, everyone who knows him, he's a likable, charismatic society socialite. He's not a brooding Howard Hughes type, guy with eccentricities. He's a social animal who people like. His public persona and before he went into politics was likable guy. And then he plays the role of the tough leader because he feels that's a brand issue that America needs to embrace to go through some tough times. Hillary, on the other hand, has a cold contempt. It's not a personal style that's warm and loving and gushing and a public style that's kind of cold. It's a personal style that is cold. And her statement on basket of deplorables, for instance, compared to Donald Trump's misquoted statement on Mexico sending rapists, is fascinating. Donald Trump was saying Mexico's not sending their best and then starts to quote crime statistics coming in. Hillary, on the other hand, isn't off the cuff. She's calculated when she says that she considers one half of the Republican Party to be irredeemable and homophobic, Islamophobic, et cetera. That's a policy contempt. And this is important. And Dr. Brown, you know this. Trump makes conservatives nervous because he doesn't have an ideologic grid that is conservative. He's not coming as a philosophical conservative. He comes as an issue-by-issue guy. Hillary, on the other hand, and Obama are a part of the Saul Alinsky progressive political machine. They come with filters and lenses locked on their head. That means you are their ideologic foe. You are their opponent. Evangelicals are a people group in the Republican Party they must stop and destroy. There is no warmth there because you're perceived as an ideologic adversary that has to be stopped. There's a difference between the two. Trump can get along with anybody. His battles will be issue-specific. Hillary and the Democrats aren't issue-specific. They are philosophy-specific, and you and I fall into the camp of enemies against their philosophy.
All right, let's ask this then, just as a follow-up. Joshua, thank you for calling. I want to get to more calls in a moment, and we're going to continue this discussion for quite some time. So by all means, call in 866-348-7884, and we'll get to as many calls as possible during the time we have Dr. Walnau with us. But as far as Donald Trump can get along with anybody, he criticized Ted Cruz. Nobody likes Ted Cruz, but you know who's divided people more than Donald Trump? You know, I can't think of a more divisive candidate, and dividing the party, dividing evangelicals, dividing the nation. Is he really a guy that's going to unify anything?
Yeah, and I think even when we say he's divided, I'm wondering about that. I think that as Christians, we should be careful to distinguish between somebody who alienates people by their prejudice or ignorance, or somebody that simply divides them because of the clarity of their position, no matter how inelegantly stated. So in Jesus's case, you are either for him or against him. Neutrality is hard to find once you start getting around Jesus in Jerusalem. You're either going to like him or hate him. So I think that the idea is that Trump brings stark focus on certain opinions that will cause you to either like him or hate him. But I'll be honest with you, and this is going to make some people agitated, but I find that unlike Barack Obama, who was a blank slate where people, and he ran as a blank slate on purpose, where people could attribute to him whatever characteristics they wanted. He ran vague so that you could literally tattoo him with what you were looking for in a leader. Trump is the exact opposite. He's a mirror. And if you're hyper-religious, he offends you. If you're hyper-lawless, he offends you. And it's almost an involuntary gag reflex. I think people actually respond to Trump like a mirror, not a blank sheet. And he feeds back to us, I think, some of the prejudices of our own thinking. And we think he's prejudiced. I think he actually exposes the prejudice in people's thinking.
Right. So one thing that will happen with someone that is someone who's used to reveal what's in people's hearts, yeah, a lot of controversy stirred up around them. The question is, are they generating it in a constructive or a destructive way? There's a debate tonight, the third debate right now. Trump is behind in the polls. We've got a minute before the break, then I want to get to more calls. But Lance, what's your gut feeling? Trump is not looking good right now. Things could turn on a dime. Are the polls accurate? What do you think?
Two things. One, I have a real concern because the media mind control, the power of the press, you know, the founding fathers understood that you have to protect the press because it's the only estate that can actually not be controlled by government. We now have a press that is controlled by five interlocking corporations that are an echo chamber for the ideology of the progressive left. We better wake up because the average Christian doesn't think. The average Christian just processes information. They hear it on social media, from friends, from TV, et cetera. They are not really hearing from God on a daily basis. That's why they have people like us that teach and stuff to kind of awaken awareness. And I'll tell you, if the church doesn't wake up, the greatest trouble is the evangelicals that are blowing it for Donald Trump right now, confusing Christians.
All right. Strong words from Lance Walnau, his book, God's Chaos Candidate. Friends, you can continue listening on thelineoffire.org. I've got a brand new article about media bias. Go to thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Trump train is coming. It's just around the bend. He's gonna be our president, make America great again. Our country needs a leader, and Trump will unify. He's gonna close that border and build that wall so high.
All right, that is the Trump train. My guest, Lance Wallnau, not the singer of that song, but the author of the new best-selling book, God's Chaos Candidate. Speaking of Donald Trump, Lance, let's get to some more callers. I've got a bunch more questions for you. We go to Brian in Bowie, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to basically say something to you and Lance Wallnau. Is that Dr. Lance Wallnau?
Yes. That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You basically were stating in regards to Donald Trump is being used as maybe something of God to basically help the Christians in regards to this voting or election. And I believe that one thing that basically God never basically says differently is that he said, we shall know them by their fruit. And when the Spirit of Christ is over somebody that God is going to use, they do not divide the country. And I believe that Donald Trump is basically dividing the country in regards to racism and all kinds of different things with his temperament. And because of the way he's lived his life for his whole 70 years, he is totally different from Hillary in regards to the 30 years of service, that when you look at her life, and then you said something about President Obama, if you look at his life, look at the fruit. Because I think Christians are blinded, because this is a spiritual warfare, and I don't think we see in the practical with the flesh that we're using trying to see spiritual things.
Yeah, let me just say one thing and then turn it over to Dr. Wallnau. With regard to the fruit of President Obama, I don't know that we've had a more divisive president. With regard to the fruit of Hillary Clinton, she has whole continents like Africa upset with America because of pushing of homosexual activism. And as I say plenty, any vote for Hillary Clinton, you've got blood on your hands. You've got the blood of the unborn. So under no circumstances could I see a follower of Jesus voting for Hillary Clinton in any shape, size, or form. So I just wanted to say that plainly. So, Lance, did Abraham Lincoln initially divide America, unite America? What was the response to him?
Yeah, I think this is a fascinating moment right here, because the caller's making a great point, and that's the power of media propaganda. What you have in race relations has gone far worse and more incendiary in the last 8 years with President Obama. Al Sharpton has made 76 trips to the White House. And the emergence of activism that has created divisions between the African-American and the white community has been unprecedented. It's almost part of a strategy of disruption. The way in which we had, now you know this, when we had the White House bathed in rainbow colors, you know, the president could have simply acknowledged the Supreme Court decision for same-sex marriage and realized that, well, we still have what, I don't know, how many, 100 million people or so that aren't on board with it. But you don't rub it in the face of all those people by, you know, you let the court make the decision. You don't sit there and high-five the court on the decision. There are so many ways in which Obama has smoothly divided, almost like a knife that is so sharp you don't feel the cut, you see the blood. And Donald Trump, on the other hand, has been, and this is interesting, it's coming out every day, but nobody's reading it. The Democratic Party actually paid and hired activists to create incidents of violence in the event to label Trump as a hate terror.
All right, stay right there. You're talking about the James O'Keefe Project Veritas videos, which the liberal media is basically not reporting on, with some very shocking revelations. All right, stay right there. We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I really do think we need more love and kindness in our country. That's why it's important to stand up to bullies wherever they are, and why we shouldn't let anybody bully his way into the presidency, because that is not who we are as Americans.
Putting Donald Trump aside entirely, I say Hillary Clinton and her party, they are the bullies, and they are the ones who will be coming after people like you and me, who are believers in Jesus with conservative moral values, who prize our freedom of speech, conscience, and religion, that we will be targeted. I've written about it this week. My article on that has gone viral. So I sound the alarm on that as clearly as possible. Putting Donald Trump aside, Hillary Clinton, Democratic Party, they are absolutely bullies. So, Lance, right before the break, you were talking about these videos from James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, where it seems that he has documented Democratic operatives who allegedly are in touch with the Clinton campaign, who would hire homeless people to disrupt Donald Trump meetings as if they were Trump supporters, to rough somebody up to make it look bad. So you're saying that there's collusion to try to make him look worse than he is.
I am saying that one of the great dangers to democracy is the takeover of information. So it's like a George Orwell moment we're living in. And you're hearing callers, sincere people, who simply don't have the time to pierce the veil like you and I have to study what's going on. George Soros, for instance, backed an umbrella group of wealthy political donors. And this to the point about who's stirring up hatred, that his emails just got exposed. And what they're celebrating is, listen to this, we have helped support in moments of uprising activists, making sure they have the material, food, supplies, stipends, bail funds to sustain and escalate their disruption of business as usual. Listed in their funding is the uprising in Baltimore, transgender delegation for the...
All right, hang on. It looks like we lost Dr. Wallnau there for a moment. So, Howard, we'll have to get him back on the air. Not sure what happened, but he just got cut off. Was that conspiratorial? Was that demonic? Could just be some technical issue that came up. But we'll get right back. So, Brian, thank you for calling. I would say this, though, that yes, it's great if a political leader can unite the country. That's great. It would be ideal. But unless that's around common values, that's not going to happen. In other words, if you have someone who really stands for godly principles, what that is going to mean, someone really standing for godly principles is someone that's going to bring tremendous division to the nation, because it's going to expose the degree of anti-God sentiments. It's going to expose hostility. It's going to expose all types of corruption. It's going to expose the divisions over family and morality. Just take the issue of abortion. Take the issue of abortion, all right? If you have a strong pro-life candidate, that candidate will be tremendously divisive in the nation. That's just the nature of it. So ultimately, we want to do what's right. We don't want to be unnecessarily divisive because of our carnality or our immaturity. We don't want to be unnecessarily divisive because of our personality quirks. But by all means, if we stand up for what's right, there will be division. Again, I'll leave it to Dr. Wallnau to argue on behalf of voting for candidate Donald Trump. As soon as we get him back on the line, we'll get to your call. So please be patient. We're not sure what happened there. But all right, looks like we got him back. All right, Lance, was that George Soros at work there to cut off the call or what?
Dr. Brown, I kid you not. I have had 3 interviews in a row, television to radio. Every single one has had an unusual energy surge that literally interrupted the broadcast
And it's, I'm telling you, when we hit on certain subjects, the spiritual atmosphere, people can laugh about this stuff. It's so energized. When we hit on certain things, it's almost like it's like it evokes an electric pulse. And calls get dropped. I've had broadcasts stop and TV studios go, this never happens here. And I said, well, it's the subject matter. And you know what it is when I talk about media mind control? The power of media to control the populace. It's like, bam, something fries.
Hey, friends, you sort that out. You're witnesses as we go along here. So would you get the word in on your interpretation of what happened? It's been three times straight. We'll see if we get back to that subject. Maybe we'll do a trial. We'll get back to the media control and see what happens. But in all seriousness, I share very deeply the same concern you have. No, we're not like North Korea, where it's blatant and there's no internet access and you only have one source of news. But when the media reports what it wants you to hear and doesn't report what it doesn't think you need to hear, and then in addition to that, reports things in certain ways that give you perspectives, and that's what people think is reality, it's terribly dangerous, terribly dangerous. And we're watching it all around us, the potential of further censoring, the power, say, of a Google or Facebook or other social media to censor dissenting views. It's really serious, and we need to take it seriously. Lance, just one question I had, though, about the unity issue. When Abraham Lincoln was first elected as an anti-slavery candidate, did our nation almost tear apart at that point?
Absolutely. Which is a great point you're making on the fact that it may not be the candidate who is the catalyst for division, but the issues that are catalytic. And a candidate like Trump comes along like a businessman, and he bumbles into the point. But don't blame him, because the borders are porous. And what you have coming to the United States is an incredible insurgency of terrorism and cartel activity. And so he's laying it out there inelegantly. Lincoln did not create the Civil War. Lincoln basically was a hostage to a division that was already in the nation. And the division between the left and right, I would say, in the area, the thing called the public square, which is the area of civility and civilization where we meet each other in sporting events and in commercial things. Look at how the left politicizes everything. Even the NFL has to have political protests, because the left is almost like a regime that wants to control every aspect of what you think and do. It's a form of control, and it's that every bit as insidious, although subtler, than dictatorships of other countries, because it will tell you what you can say, what you can't say, what you can do, what you can't do, and there's no place safe. You're going to find politicizing of everything, right down to the bathrooms in your office. It's going to happen.
Yeah, and they have been. Bathrooms have been politicized right in front of our eyes, including in our children's elementary schools. Let's go to Riverside, California. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? Sorry, I'm a little nervous being on radio, but also because of the issue. Just really quickly, when I said what I'm about to say, I don't include you in this. In fact, that's why I'm calling, because I appreciate your fairness in this whole election season. But I'll be blunt but courteous. I vehemently have to disagree with your guest. And the reason is, there's what I see, a lot of division in the body or the church, much like there is in the secular world, except the perception is Trump is very divisive in the secular world. But people such as your guest or other evangelical leaders are being divisive in the church. And what I mean by that, it appears that they are rationalizing or being twisted into pretzels to support or endorse. And it gets confusing, because if it's not outright, whether through secular means or through scripture, if it's through scripture, it really sounds like eisegesis, or if at the very least, a very misinterpretation of the scriptures just to justify. And lastly, I'll leave with this. Just the phrase that I caught your guest say at one break was evangelicals blowing this election for Trump. To me, that is the hyperbole that is dividing the church. I have a wife and two little girls. To try and explain any support for Trump, I'm also Hispanic. Now, the comments about Mexicans coming in and bringing rapists wasn't as big of an issue as much as him criticizing a judge. I understand the judge was liberal. He's an activist. But he didn't go there. He said specifically it was his racist, his Mexican heritage. So in my opinion and many others, the idea also that he's dividing the church in this way, I think Obama united the church because we were against him. But Trump, through surrogates, as some evangelical leaders are dividing it, especially even seen through the students at Liberty with Jerry Falwell Jr. So I'm sorry, I'm just a bit nervous. I'll leave you with that.
John, first, great job in the midst of being nervous, and thank you for the kind words. All right, we've got a break coming up. Dr. Wallnau will respond in detail. You fair questions, good questions, and I'm sure Dr. Wallnau would love to answer them. So stay right there. Right after the break, Dr. Wallnau will respond. Again, his new book, God's Chaos Candidate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It seems every election cycle we are come together and we talk about it. You know, is this finally the death of the religious right? Well, it looks like that epitaph could be written this election cycle with the candidacy of Donald Trump.
Those are the words of David Gibson, Religious News Service reporter. Lance, what's your response to those important questions asked by John from Riverside, married with two girls and Hispanic?
Yeah, and it's easy to answer. And actually, what I would say to John, and I'm glad that he called in as a first-time caller, because this is my first time doing radio taking callers. So, you know, I appreciate him calling. I would say this. He would be fortunate if his girls looked up to him and had the same admiration and affection for him when he's 69 as Donald Trump has from all of his children right now. The amazing thing that I find curious is that people, Christians are supposed to be forgiving people. Donald Trump has repented for something he did a decade ago, made a decision he was going to be a monogamous husband and marry Melania, hasn't had any activity that has gone on since he got married. He was caught running his mouth in 2005. But for a decade, the guy's been a consistently dedicated husband and father. I don't know why he doesn't get credit for the incredible job he's done raising billionaire kids who could have cocaine up their nose, running around, you know, in rehab like so many others. These are disciplined, dedicated, conservative, family-oriented couples. So Trump gets, you know, A on father, gets an F on marriage. But in the third one, he's finally got it right. Christianity, if anything, should be the place of redemption, not the place of embarrassment over this stuff. So the story is, your girls might have a boyfriend that cheats on them. He has to own it. He has to say he's sorry, and he has to change his ways, because that's the real world we live in. And if you can have children that love you like Trump came out loving him, more power to you, baby. So I know a whole lot of preachers that don't have kids that are as enthusiastic about their dads in ministry as Trumps are about their dad in business.
So let me ask this, Lance. When Melania Trump was on CNN, and she talked about the man that she knows and who Trump is and how he's always treated her. That was obviously important to hear. But when she was asked about her photo spread in the past and, you know, nude or near nude, whatever, and she said she's proud of it. She's glad she did it. In Europe, they don't have shame about their bodies. They're not uptight about those kinds of things. There is a larger feeling that just the kind of person that Trump has been and in certain ways has seemed to perpetuate, aside from recent apologies that some felt were not strong enough, but, you know, to dismiss certain things as locker room talk, for example. And then Melania is saying, hey, I'm proud of what I did. We know what happened with Bill Clinton and the scandal surrounding him, that suddenly a generation thought that certain sexual acts were not really sex. Couldn't a Trump presidency have a degrading, vulgarizing effect with a Melania as a first lady? We forgive the past, but she's proud of it. Couldn't that, and he's proud of it. Couldn't that have a larger, vulgarizing, degrading effect on the nation, which is very negative?
Well, no, I think this is where Christians have to really grow up. I mean, so here's your moment where you've got this couple are drawn more to evangelicals, which is why I said Heidi
the Heidi Cruz moment that was missed. It's the Kasich moments that's missed. And I pray that some of the other evangelicals that are around this couple can pull them aside. I mean, you know, actually, sinners sin. I don't expect a sinner to suddenly develop a Christian conscience over every artistic event or song they sing. I don't want that. I don't want a religious conversion. I want an authentic one. She shouldn't have to apologize for the spreads that she's done in the past as a model, because from her perspective, that's the art of what she did. She wasn't doing porn with another guy or scenes like that or videos. And so I look at this thing and say, listen, she needs to meet Jesus. Trump needs to meet Jesus. I wonder who the evangelicals are that are surrounding them so that they can have that encounter. But even if they don't, and this is critically important, we are talking about two different platforms. Forget about Melania. She is not the Republican platform. Late-term abortion, page 37 of the Democratic platform. If you've got listeners out there that are hesitating or voting for Hillary or throwing away their vote on someone else, you're voting for late-term abortion. I don't know where Gabe Lyons and Beth Moore and some of the other evangelical leaders are that are coming out and making statements against Trump. I want them to explain why they are for late-term abortion, because that's what they're telling people to vote for. I want to know why they applaud LGBT progress regarding the deterioration of marriage in America and the advancement of that of legislation into every area of evangelical life on the basis of discriminatory policy. Why are these evangelical leaders promoting discrimination against heterosexual marriage? The Republican Party on page 31 and 32 explains its support for natural marriage. Democratic policy is page 19. This is like common sense. Israel, do you know that Israel, and we get all nervous about Israel. You're Jewish. I just came from Israel. I got part Jewish, got family that lives there. The Democratic Party on page 49, ultimate solution is a two-state solution. Let's go ahead and divide and take land from Israel. The Republican, page 47, says unequivocal support for Israel. A vote for Hillary is a vote for late-term abortion, the division of Israel, and the destruction of the American family. That's my answer to Philip Yancey, Beth Moore, Gabe Lyons, and every other evangelical who's smoking the wrong stuff during the election cycle.
Hey, John, thank you very much for calling in. Much appreciated. Lance, I ended my article, Christian Conservatives Be Assured That President Hillary Clinton Will Declare War on You. It's really gotten out, and when it posted on Saturday, October 15th in the evening, and it's gone viral since. But I ended by saying I do understand that many of you cannot find it in yourself to vote for Donald Trump, but whatever you do, do not vote for Hillary Clinton. Please encourage your conservative Christian friends not to vote for her either. To do so is to hand her the tape to gag your mouths and the rope to fasten your hands. You have been forewarned. But obviously you're saying it goes one step beyond that, because you're saying that, and obviously I'm trying to tell Christians that are thinking of voting for Hillary Clinton, don't do that. That I can do passionately. But in your mind, you have to go one step further and vote for Donald Trump.
Well, you have to. It's like saying, you know, we only got so many lifeboats on the Titanic. The iceberg has already hit the country. I think we're in an unraveling. The question is, who do you want? Whose value system? Whose playbook are you going to endorse? If we give 4 more years, now that we know the media power, now that we know Soros' funding, now that we know the aggressive way in which these activist groups create incendiary incidents that the media covers up and reports as though it's actually real news, can we really afford to have 4 years of Hillary as president? Because to not vote for Trump is to vote for Hillary. It's like to not make a decision about Jesus is to make a decision against your own salvation. And someone could say, well, there's a lot of choices out there. I say we have one choice. It's either going to be Trump or it's going to be Hillary. If you're not voting for Trump, you might as well vote for Hillary, because the evangelicals can turn this election one way or the other. Trump put a lot of goodwill on evangelicals. He believed in evangelicals more than we believe in ourselves. He believes that the evangelical community is the core character that can shape the nation through a crisis.
All right, I got to jump in right there. Dr. Lance Wallnau will stay on a few more minutes, so you can still call. You can continue listening on thelineoffire.org, his new book, God's Chaos Candidate. My bottom line, no question, America is shaking, unraveling. What is God calling you and me to do right now?
All right, the elections are upon us. How did we get where we are today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just spent a very informative hour on the air with Dr. Lance Wallnau. He's the author of the brand new book, God's Chaos Candidate. He is an entrepreneur, a business leader, a Christian thinker, and he is challenging a lot of people to look at Donald Trump, not through traditional Christian eyes, but through the wider spectrum of how could God be using a man at a critical time in American history, even though this man does not presently know God and has his many evident, deep, and serious flaws, even likening him to a Samson. Dr. Wallnau has consented to spend a few more minutes with us, so I want him, for all of you just tuning in now, just tuning into the broadcast, I want Dr. Wallnau to explain what he means by saying that Donald Trump is a divine wrecking ball against the spirit of political correctness. And then I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel that you cannot vote for Donald Trump or really having a hard time voting for him, I want you to call in. Dr. Wallnau will gladly take a few more calls and address your concerns. So with that, Lance, welcome back to the broadcast.
Amen. Good to be back.
All right. You explained this in the first hour, but we've got a bunch of brand new listeners as well just joining us now in the second hour from different parts of the country. Could you explain again, maybe in some different terms, how you see Donald Trump functioning as a divine wrecking ball against the spirit of political correctness, as opposed to just some blundering, narcissistic, quick-tempered, volatile, immature businessman who's destroying the nation and he's not even the president?
Sure. The reality is that if you have a suspicion that Washington is rigged, that there is a collusion between establishment Republicans and Democrats that have allowed the deficit to increase $10 trillion, and no one has the guts or the spine to be able to call out the fact that America can have a Great Depression, the dollar can become no longer the reserve currency, that we could have an absolute spiral into chaos. You've looked at Ferguson, you've looked at Baltimore, you've looked at borders where cartels and over 170,000 criminals have been able to get over those borders and commit acts that they're now in jail for. If you look at all that and say to yourself, do I want to have Hillary Clinton, who's never done anything interesting or unique in the order of change or innovation in 30 years, three decades of political life, do I want her with the Republican insiders running the show during that chaos? Or do I want somebody who comes in as an outsider dealing with the American economic meltdown? Who basically uses business approaches. And we're not hiring the number one, Joel Osteen as president. What we're hiring is a Churchill for World War II. We're looking for someone who has an uncanny, almost prophetic instinct for decision-making and collecting data, moving in an unconventional way, because Hillary Clinton has done nothing spectacular or innovative in 30 years. Trump, in 1 year, not even as president, has redefined the electoral landscape and how politics happens. This guy is the change agent, and you want to have somebody like Churchill. Remember, Churchill was kicked out of office before World War II, and he was retired from office after World War II. Sometimes you need that unique combination of competence, grit, courage, and determination to be able to lead. Trump is the guy that will actually protect religious liberty during the American unraveling. I'll tell you what will happen if we don't have that. Supreme Court justices are going to get pointed in, and you're going to have legislation, Dr. Brown, that's going to take you and other talk show hosts or people like me and gag us under the category of hate speech, and especially in a social era of meltdown, we would be held as people responsible for disturbing the peace.
Mm-hmm. All right, we will be right back. The dire warning that Dr. Wallnau gives is a warning I've been giving as well in terms of a Hillary Clinton presidency. I want to go to William in the Bronx, Bill in Virginia, as soon as we come back.
God of light. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast today. My guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, author of the instant bestseller on Amazon, God's Chaos Candidate. Let's go to William in the Bronx. Your question for Dr. Wallnau.
Hi, Dr. Brown, Dr. Wallnau. I can't vote for Donald Trump. I'm an evangelical from the city. And first of all, to say that he's an outsider is stretching it quite a bit, because he's been an insider all his life. He supported a lot of Democratic candidates, including he's given money, millions of dollars to Democratic candidates, okay, throughout the years, and that's not disputed. He says you're saying for the issues, he's against the LGBT rights. He hasn't said anything about that. As a matter of fact, the few times he has talked about it, he's defended it. Also, he supports Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion. He doesn't stand for Christian principles. We think he does, but he doesn't. That's number one. Number two, yeah, he's a change agent, all right? He's already changed the evangelicals. Yeah, white evangelical leaders are supporting him left and right from, Liberty University. They all present. But yes, the evangelicals in urban cities, like Hispanic evangelicals, are they going to vote for Trump? Ask black evangelicals in the city if they're going to vote for Trump. None of them are going to vote for Trump. So if he becomes president, there's going to be a change, all right? But it could be. We're thinking it's going to be positive change. It could be for the negative. If he's going to lose already, we already see it in the polls. He's going to lose. It's going to have to be supernatural intervention. And if it is supernatural intervention that he wins, let me suggest something. It could be the judgment of God upon America. Thank you.
All right, William, bye. Thank you. Thank you for weighing in. Your response, Lance.
Well, you can hear the intensity, the emotion out there. No matter who wins on November 9th, America's going to be the most divided country it's ever been. And that's going to be something we have to deal with. I'll tell you who isn't going to vote against him in the city and the Hispanic community, and that's the 2 million owners of small businesses. I'll tell you who isn't going to vote against him in the African American community is going to be the 1.9 million owners of business, because they recognize that the policies that Trump has are going to be able to support small business, and economics is the only way out of the problems in the inner city. But as for Trump and his LGBT support, I was agitated. I can't agree with him in everything. My gosh, I'm not his defender in that sense. But I saw the wisdom, oddly enough, in a strange way. Track with me. By bringing the LGBT argument not outside the Republican Party, but saying that we have a place for you here, what he has essentially done is, if he can become president, the Republican Party then can shape the aggressiveness with which the LGBT agenda is launched. And trust me, it's an aggressive agenda that is out to target people to put them out of business. It won't be able to do so in the Republican Party, because in a sense, being in the Republican Party, if Trump is in, there's too much a commitment to marriage, as if you read it, the definition of marriage in Trump's platform. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or our constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. That's about as far as you can go, and Trump signed off on it. He said, all right, I can agree with that. But he doesn't want to make adversaries out of that very powerful lobby. Look how he's getting beat up already by the media and his enemies. He couldn't afford to add to that to fuel the LGBT juggernaut.
You know, what's interesting, Lance, is that the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization, has branded him, this may not be a direct quote, but the most dangerous anti-LGBT candidate ever. So they all pretty well feel he's against them. And it is true that the Republican Party platform, it's the strongest pro-life platform we've ever had. And it's extremely strong for pro-marriage and family as God intended it. My take is that Trump, over the years, has had many gay and lesbian friends, co-workers, and he thinks they should be treated fairly, and you know they shouldn't be targeted, you know, and shot at and things like that. But of course, he wants to defend religious liberties. And I know evangelical leaders have been pressing him on when rubber meets the road. I just don't think that he's thought through what happens with the conflict fully. But for sure, he continues to be surrounded by godly leaders who are giving him good counsel. And whatever he said about Planned Parenthood, he signed off on the party platform and keeps assuring that he would appoint justices to the Supreme Court in the model of Scalia. And look, you know how reluctant I've been to say I would vote for Donald Trump, but I actually believe that he would defend our liberties and that he would stand, that he would appoint the justices he's saying if elected. For whatever reason, he has been attracted to these believers. You're right about that. William, thank you for the call. Your passion and your concerns are duly noted. We go to Bill in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Welcome. Well, hey, Doc. You know, it's Harrisonburg. This is Bill. I was pretty good with the interview until we got up into the end of the first hour where I was told if I don't vote for Trump, I'm voting for Hillary now. Now, Kenneth Copeland recently made a statement that if we did not vote for Trump, the blood would be on our hands, referring to the abortion issue. I don't think there's any way to treat a brother and sister in the Lord who has prayerfully considered and cannot in clear conscience vote for Trump. Now, I wanted to talk about a couple of presuppositions that this attitude has. The first one and the most important is that God has ordained a two-party system. You have to believe that if you say if you don't vote for Trump, you're voting for Hillary. The second one is that God requires that we will vote for a candidate that will win. The third one is we must have secret knowledge of who will win, and I'll give you an aside, I don't think Trump is going to win. And fourth, we must believe that Trump will not change his stand on issues again. This is a real problem. I will be voting on the issues because my integrity and conscience are at stake. I will say this, McMullen and Castle are also pro-life. They are more soundly pro-life than Trump is. And I believe that God would have me vote for the candidate whose positions match what I want to see the most. And I'll finish it up. I want to go back to this presupposition. That's my question about the two-party system. But I will say that whoever God puts into office, according to Daniel 2:21, is up to God.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for laying out your points clearly and strongly. I'm looking at an article from rightwingwatch.org. They attack me quite frequently. It's an honor when they do. I often give them shout-outs on the radio and tell them this is a good place to attack me. But they have an article about my guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, from 2 days ago. Lance Wallnau slams evangelicals who aren't sticking with God's chaos candidate, Donald Trump. Lance, are you trying to play God here and tell people who they should vote for and God's not happy with them if they don't vote for Donald Trump?
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, Paul gets on board a ship and he recognizes he's just a passenger on board the ship, and he gives a perspective. He says, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much damage and possible loss of life if we take off now." And so he put the matter of his own perspective out, and they had a vote, and they voted and overruled him, and they took off into a storm that they almost all got killed in. I'm saying America is experiencing an unraveling. It's heading towards this fourth crucible. Callers like I just heard respect his opinion, but the idea that God ordained a two-party system is the very reason why you need to vote for Donald Trump. Because if the immigration laws are allowed to continue to invite open borders so that anyone can come into the country, 90% of people that come into the country that don't have jobs immediately vote Democrat. That means the Democrats have an instant path into a one-party domination of the rest of the history of the United States. There will not be a two-party system because the nature of the economics of immigration is that those that come into the country start off Democrat, and gradually as they get on their feet and they own property, et cetera, and this is just a sociologic fact, they end up becoming more Republicans when they start having money, they're paying taxes and contributing. So what you've got here is a one-party system is about to take over just through immigration policy alone. And 30% of people following Sanders that are young people are all for socialism. America's youth are being so corrupted through academia, one of the seven mountains,
that they don't even understand the genius of free enterprise and what made America great in the first place in terms of its faith and free enterprise. So I don't think we're going to have a two-party system. That's the argument that I would say is the reason why I want to vote for Trump. And
got
if
it.
Trump changes his mind, well, he might. He might change his mind. But you're surrounded by Mike Pence, the Senate, Congress, and the staff members and the evangelical community, the way that he's operating, he's going to have strong pushback on any major deviance from any platform policy. However, Hillary will be totally ruthless in executing that wild policy platform that you guys want to vote for.
Yeah, I don't think she'll change her mind. Yeah, and by the way, Lance, I don't think Bill was saying God ordained a two-party system. We shouldn't just limit ourselves to the two parties. But your point is all the more strong then. We're not just supposed to have one party. That's the key thing. All right, thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire today. This is Michael Brown. Blessed to be speaking with Lance Wallnau, Dr. Wallnau's new book, God's Chaos Candidate. He believes that chaos candidate is Donald Trump, that America is in a position, a time of unraveling, and God will use Donald Trump as a divine wrecking ball against the spirit of political correctness. He also feels that we cannot look at these elections through eyes that would be missing God's larger purposes, meaning we just say, well, we want a Christian candidate, we want a godly candidate. Many say, yeah, well, we had Jimmy Carter, and he was the Sunday school teacher, the godly candidate, and you end up with a man being raised up by God, Ronald Reagan, with his wife into astrology and a former grade B actor. So who knows what God's going to do, how he's going to work. Lance, during the broadcast, you made reference a couple of times to seven mountains. You've taught about this for years. It is one of the things that I think is most widely misunderstood by secular media who end up referring to the dominionism that Christians basically want to take over the world and impose their views on everyone with maybe with death penalties for noncompliance and things like that. Could you explain exactly what you mean by seven mountains?
Sure. And by the way, you know, I think it's an insight we should have that the secular media really ignores us. Until we hit territory that the devil gets nervous about. So when you come out and talk about gender issues or sexual orientation, bam, you'll get hit. Now, you talk about revival and God and the Trinity and healing and salvation, they'll leave you alone. I always look to see where the devil is sensitive to know where he needs to get hit. This subject makes liberals crazy because what I'm saying is that the gospel of the kingdom is meant for all of society. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not just Christians and Republicans. That God's word is meant for the benefit of all mankind, and God's wisdom is in the Bible for economics, for family, for education, for arts, for government, for law, and for business. And the moment you start taking the word of God, Michael, and you say, I believe that Christians ought to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, according to what the blessing of Abraham is. We should be shaping culture rather than allowing culture to become Gotham City and Babylon, especially when we have 100 million of us sitting on our thumbs. We should be the ones that are shaping what happens in media. If Christians organized like the NRA and had 5 million members that boycotted a single business when it started to get aggressive against us, that business would change overnight because they're interested in making money first and cause second. So I think that the anxiety of the left field is that we're finally waking up to America's decline is because we did not actually go into all the systems in our country. We were content to hang out in church and go, you know, have ministers do our preaching for us. So we need Christians in government, Christians in education, Christians in arts and media, in business and in communities. And preachers with a backbone that aren't afraid to have opinions on current social events. So instead of preaching abstract sermons, they preach sermons that people can live out with their left foot, right foot, when it comes to moments like this, when you're voting for the future of your family and your nation.
All right. So let's say that we start to dominate universities, the way liberals are dominating now. What do we do with dissenting views? Do we censor them the way liberals do? Do we punish those who differ? I mean, how do we
isn't that the beautiful thing? Christianity is the only worldview that allows for courtesy in the public square for difference of opinion. The progressive left, my friend, the progressive left is a totalitarian system that will shut down every voice of consent of dissent. They will shut down the voice of Christianity on campuses. The one time I go to Harvard to go speak, I have a protest. The ACLU organizes. The Right Wing Watch publishes it. The newspaper comes out against me. I didn't know what hit me. And it's like the Lord says to me, he says, well, son, you just found a nerve center. The devil really doesn't care about me doing my revival meetings. He can't stand it when I go to the Capitol, the UN, Jerusalem, or Harvard. And I get that's where I have my protests, and I get all the feedback. So if the church, through some strange move of God, which is I think even beyond my imagination right now, if the church was to occupy all seven of those spheres, here's the twist that I brought in with a book, God's Chaos Candidate, that sets back the liberal anxiety about an evangelical Taliban. I say God anoints unsaved people. This really freaks them out. Because I say, you know what? I'm going to get behind Churchill. All right, so the guy's going to blow smoke in my face. He's going to be drinking his swirl and his scotch and ice. But you know what? I think this guy's anointed to deal with Hitler. I think this is the guy that can rally a country. I could deal with Margaret Thatcher. I could deal with Lincoln, who doesn't go to church or participate in revival. I could deal with him. You know why? Because God anoints secular rulers like Cyrus or Darius for the sake of his people. Therefore, we don't have to have a Christian Taliban. All we have to do is see who is God anointed, how can we be Joseph to serve those pharaohs, and where they don't exist, I say, you know, be the head and not the tail. Go as far as you can, but Christians create a public square where you can debate your differences. Communists and socialists and fascist progressives will shut us down and put us in jail.
So you are not advocating, say, if Christians come into senior leadership roles in all of these different seven mountains, you're not advocating that we restore Old Testament law, for example, that there's a death penalty for Sabbath observance or a death penalty for adultery. This is not what you're advocating.
No, those are, and that probably goes back to some guys that were well ahead of my generation who had their Reconstructionist doctrine and their, you know, probably Rush Dooney and their different names like that. I came along much later than that. I'm a practical guy. I'm a New York business guy. And to me, more the spirit of the law, that is the moral law that is in the New Testament, is the glue that holds society together. Trying to impose religious values or trying to... We have the battle of persuasion we have to do better. We have to be able to win. And even abolition, you know that Lincoln had to wait until he had a victory in the Civil War before he could do the Emancipation Proclamation. Because there's a public persuasion aspect that Christians have to have. We have to persuade people. We can't force people to do what we want them to do. We have to do a better job of persuading, and to do that, we have to occupy academia, journalism, media, arts, and business more intentionally, because those are the fulcrums that shape the collective minds of nations.
Mm. Yeah, I wish we had hours and hours to talk about this, Lance. It's such a critical subject, and the way people react to it really does show a nerve has been hit, because we're talking about kingdoms that others rule, and there's a threat to that. Jesus was a threat to the religious system. He was a threat to their authority and dominance. Yeah, that's what you were dealing with. Hey, Lance, you've been on for an hour and a half. If you want to stay on a few more minutes, we're about to blanket DFW, and we've got a few more calls. If you've got to go, I understand.
No, I can hold on. DFW is my hometown. It's where I'm from.
All right.
DFW.
All right. Stay right there, and we'll get to your calls. So, Ryan James, you're next. And we'll open up the phones to all of our DFW listeners momentarily. The new book by Dr. Lance Wallnau, God's Chaos Candidate, namely Donald Trump.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. I want to greet all of our listeners in the greater DFW area. My guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, a New Yorker, but now a Dallas area transplant, a businessman, Christian thinker, leader in the body. And his new book, God's Chaos Candidate, is an instant bestseller on Amazon. And he believes that America is in an unraveling and that Donald Trump, not even knowing the Lord now, and with all his very evident rough edges and fleshly past, has been anointed by God for such a time as this. Lance, what type of advertising campaign did you mount to get your book so prominent on Amazon?
There was none. In fact, I was then in Jerusalem lamenting the fact that I wasn't in the United States to do TV and radio. And just a week ago, it was the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah. And some friends of mine said, Lance, the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem. Let's just pray it's a bestseller. And I thought, yeah, okay. So away it went. But what happened was I did a, after the 2005 disclosure of Trump's soundbite, I saw that this is going to be like the assassin's bullet on his candidacy. And I did a video like on Facebook. And honestly, Michael, it went to like 3.6 million views. And I think people that saw my discussion of Trump, where I flat out said, I said, God can anoint the jawbone of an ass to kill Philistines. I never once saw him anoint Jezebel. And it was just such a bold statement to make that it just got a lot of voltage. And the next thing you know, bam, the book suddenly took off viral and became like a bestseller.
Yeah, look, I've written almost 30 books now. I know what it takes in the natural for a book to really do well. And when I went to check it on Amazon a couple of days ago, I thought, look at this. Whether you like it or not, this is obviously a hot subject, and you've hit a nerve with it. I want to play a clip. JJ, grab clip number 6. I want to play a clip, get your response to it, because this is a short segment. We've only got about 2 more minutes, and then I want to get straight to callers. If you have a problem voting for Donald Trump, If you don't see how you can vote for him, you have grave concerns, please call. Dr. Wallnau would be happy to answer your questions. 866-34-TRUTH. This, again, is Religion News Service's reporter David Gibson on Religion and Ethics News Weekly speaking about the death of the religious right.
This latest video, the ongoing allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault that are coming out, the way the candidate is responding, really have divided evangelical leaders in a way they hadn't even been before. A lot of them are doubling down, especially that old guard religious right, doubling down on their support of Trump. Never Trump evangelicals are saying, look, this is the last straw. There's no way any good evangelical can support this guy. The key is that you're seeing some of this showing up in the polls for white evangelical voters. They're only supporting him about 65%. That's not nearly enough to get Donald Trump into the White House.
All right, Lance, in a minute, have we discredited ourselves, lost our moral authority by supporting Donald Trump as evangelicals?
No, I think it's rather the opposite. I think that the great wrecking ball has exposed pardon me for saying it, but there's a whole lot of compromising preachers who avoid incendiary subject matters. They don't want to lose people in their pews. They don't want to lose donors in their donor base. They don't want to have activists on their parking lot. So I think Christians have become cowards when it comes to having opinions on subjects, and we just kind of want to go along. I think Trump forces you to define whether or not if you're afraid of having an opinion and standing for what you believe is true, then Trump is going to be someone who's a frustration to you because he flushes you out in terms of your position. This year is going to be the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I think spiritually, this year, there's a reformation coming to the body of Christ in America, and disengaged Christians are going to realize it's time they got engaged, and that's what's going to come out of this controversy.
All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Lance Wallnau, his book, God's Chaos Candidate. Your calls next. Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I want to encourage you to join our support team today. Become a torchbearer, one of our regular monthly supporters that enables us to broadcast the Line of Fire around America and around the world. And oh, every month we sow back into in many, many different ways. Join our team. Become a torchbearer. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Donate.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Some of you may remember that when I was sounding the alarm about candidate Trump during the Republican primaries and urging evangelicals to vote for candidates other than Donald Trump, I also said, now, Dr. Lance Wall now believes that God spoke to him out of Isaiah 45, that God showed him that Donald Trump was a Cyrus type of person raised up and anointed by God, even though he doesn't know God, and that God was going to use him. And I said, hey, maybe my role is to sound warnings and Dr. Wallnau's role is to give this prophetic word. And I've said, I hope he's right. I've said that often, but I gave those warnings during the primaries when we had other alternatives. Once it was now Trump and Hillary, I said that I will reassess my strategy. But I've said many times, I hope he's right. So I'm not being duplicitous in any way in discussing these issues. Lance knows full well where I've stood and where I've been on these things. And also, I've never had a problem with someone saying, look, I understand all the failings and shortcomings of Donald Trump, but I believe God has a purpose in raising him up for the following reasons, versus evangelicals that got behind them like kind of Saint Donald. That's what concerned me the most. Lance, ready for a few more calls? All right, let's go to Ryan in Houston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
Well, so, go ahead.
Yeah, so I can't vote for Trump. Just because I see Trump as a secondary version of Ross Perot back when the other Clinton was running for office twice. Just a businessman put in there to, you know, take the votes away from the Republicans so that it's a smooth win. So I see Hillary as the one that's going to, you know, it's just going to be business as usual in the White House.
Yeah, go ahead, Lance, your response. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Now, well, you're a better listener than me. So did I understand him to say that he sees that Donald Trump is just kind of some deal that was made to put in a Ross Perot so that Hillary's going to win anyway, so why vote for him?
Yeah, Ryan, you said you see him as a Ross Perot type, not a
pretty
realistic
much
chance of winning, but someone that's just going to get the Democrat
right
in ultimately. Is there
right
some
Jeb dropped out and the other, you know, Cruz, who you supported for a while, dropped out. It's just it's funny to me, you know, because I don't see this I see it more as a show than as real politics, unless, you know, just every politician has to be, you know, just I guess the same as their predecessor. I do see that, you know, businessman Ross Perot was brought in to divide the vote, you know, to ensure that Bush would not be reelected. Same thing with Dole. Brought him back and said, hey, let's try it again. It worked twice. And
so,
here
you feel
we are,
Hillary. Do you feel there's collusion in it, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
From whom?
Oh, from whoever's supporting it. From wherever the money's coming from. Because that's pretty much all that matters, is their legacy.
So you're saying that people, pro-Democrat,
trust fund.
Pro-Democrat business people, rich donors, power mongers, are basically pulling the strings so that they can just get their Democratic candidate in. Is that your basic point?
Pro-politician. I mean, just you want to follow the money. And as long as they can keep the money, that's why you have so many people recanting their endorsement of Donald Trump. And that's the only reason why I actually like Donald Trump, is because the politicians are now afraid of Donald Trump, saying, oh, wait, no, it's not going to be a business as usual if this guy actually, you know, is elected. But I want to save face. I'm going to, you know, recant my endorsement.
All right, got it. Lance, your response.
Yeah, clearly. I just want to clear the air.
Donald Trump is self-funding. There's no strings attached. So from the very premise that he's some kind of a manipulated candidate that's there to rig the election falls flat on its face, because Trump's ego is so massive. He would never intentionally lose to anyone on anything. Nobody's accusing him of that. He's funding himself, so nobody's got strings attached. No, you were right, absolutely right on one thing. Donald Trump is the change agent. Bill Clinton, when he did his speech at the Democratic Party, I listened with great interest, because Bill's a consummate politician, got elected twice, he knows what he's doing. He said the presidency is all about change. His job was to present Hillary Clinton as the ultimate get-it-done change agent. And I'm telling you, Donald Trump is the ultimate change agent. The guy has changed everything about politics just by his emergence. Clinton is not a change agent. She's a policy wonk with a progressive agenda. So I'm saying, if you've got an unraveling happening in America, you want to have the wild card. Because the fact of the matter is, I want someone like Trump because he's not predictable, and I don't want business as usual. I do not want anybody doing business as usual, because business as usual is going to sink this ship.
All right, so thank you, Ryan, for the call. Let me go back to one thing, Lance. You mentioned the... and by the way, amen to business as usual is going to sink the ship. Yeah, absolutely, totally. Okay, so here's my question. Here's my question. You mentioned the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We know how greatly God used Martin Luther. We also know his horrific words against the Jews and others. And you've read widely in these things about the Reformation, the peasants, how his words brought destruction on many other people. There is the concern with Donald Trump that he could be used for a lot of good, but that his personal failings, his volatility, these other things are such that the way, the demeaning nature that he brings to everything, so that the politics now seems like National Enquirer reality TV show, Jerry Springer, something like that, that yes, he brings good, but the overall package is so destructive at the end, you don't know if it was better or worse.
Well, okay, so my answer to that is, I'm just going to go to the Middle East, right? In the Middle East, and dealing with Vladimir Putin and Russia, Trump's style actually is what we need. There is such a universal contempt for America in the world. President Barack Obama is actually, I believe, auditioning right now to take over the United Nations. Can you imagine a Hillary president with Barack Obama as the ultimate global community organizer working with her, with the drumbeat of media behind the two of them, with world events? My gosh, every end-time scenario you can imagine is happening there. Trump, on the other hand, I've talked to Middle East leaders, I've talked to Middle East businessmen, I work with them, actually. And here's what they say. We get Trump because we don't understand how you could say you're for us, but you're not. Who are you really with? As, you know, Obama's like, you know, he's playing a game with the Middle East that nobody quite, he's not supporting his friends, and he's winking with Iran, his enemies, and they're saying, give us leadership where we understand you. The Middle East really doesn't like complicated, nuanced, presidential policies. When you're dealing with Trump, Putin gets him. It's like dealing with a rich, egotistical oligarch. Putin has to be careful what he does. Middle East, same thing. Give us clear boundaries so we know how to relate to you. You want us to deal with terrorism? Just tell us you're behind us in office, and we'll turn under the Wahhabi extremism in the Saudi ranks. That's what America needs. It doesn't need more of the chaos of what the only stuff Clinton's done as a change agent, quite frankly, has made things worse, from Libya to the expansion of ISIS. I don't know how a lady that intelligent could be complicit in so many dumb decisions. Trump, on the other hand, very practical. He's a businessman. He will not. He will come across with simplicity in his agenda and his items, and the whole world will breathe a sigh of relief because they finally have a president they can work with and figure out.
Yeah. When I was in Israel last year, I was fascinated to speak with Israelis, from a cab driver to others, and hear anecdotally what I had read in other settings and in polls, namely the deep, deep feeling across Israel that President Obama was not their friend, that he could care less about Israel. They felt George W. Bush was a much better friend than Obama. And then, of course, there was the personal insult towards Netanyahu on certain occasions. And, you know, that obviously can't help. But the perception towards Trump, interestingly enough, is different. All right, we've got one last segment. I want to get to James in Rock Hill, see if we can get to one other call after that. But Lance, something fascinating. I'm on Amazon.com right now looking at your book, God's Chaos Candidate, Donald J. Trump and the American Unraveling. Certainly, you stake out controversial positions, but here's what's wild. The book already has 392 reviews. It's been out for less than a month, and that's more reviews than I have of any of my books on Amazon, as far as I know. But they are 97% five-star. That's crazy with a controversial book like this. So, friends, check it out. God's Chaos Candidate, Lance Wallnau, is the author. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The music from the Trump train. My guest, Dr. Lance Wallnau, author of the brand new book, God's Chaos Candidate. Lance, before we get to our last caller or two, what's your expectation in the debate tonight?
Well, the debates drive me crazy because I'm constantly wanting to participate from the sideline.
Yep.
Say that, say that. My challenge with Donald is that his greatest need is going to be to connect at an emotional level with the people he has to yet persuade. So he's already got his base, shored up. I'm disappointed by the 68% evangelical vote. That, to me, that's just a waffling that's going to haunt us in the future if we don't shore that up. But I think he needs to be able to communicate, hey, listen, I've apologized for what I've done that's wrong. Remember, that's a decade ago. And that's not who I am now. And I think he needs to just kind of like, not focused on Bill Clinton and scandal stuff. I think he needs to make some clear points on how the fat in the government at $19 trillion can be stopped, or these people here are the deal flow people. They're like, cash and carry. They're gonna kill the economy. And I'm a businessman. I know how to fix it. I think he needs to slash and burn on the contrast between his policies and Hillary's policies. And where it's going to take America, including like the immigration. He is not against immigration. Immigration built America. He's against what her policy will bring into the country that will destroy America. If he can make contrast between certain key ideas and touch the heart and say, I'm a father, I'm a dad, I've learned to be a great husband, I understand the crucible America's in for the next 48 months. You need a businessman who knows how to fix things. Not a 30-year policy machine, which is what you're about to put in office if you don't grab me. And you know what? I think if he does that, he can win the debate.
And you feel he could still win the election?
I feel he can win the election. I think guys like me and guys like you, I think some of us are going to have to go shore up that evangelical vote. We're going to have to move it from 68 up to like 80%. I think there's going to be some heated moments on Fox. Where we're going to have that discussion with the family about what's at stake and where we're at. But I think there's a lot of Brexit voters. And here's what I mean. There are a number of people who aren't calling in. Let me tell you who's not calling. It's funny. The people who aren't calling in are the people that are pro-Trump that have a question. I'll tell you why. Because they're embarrassed to be associated with Trump in terms of the social backlash. But they're not in disagreement with him. So every place where you see a 3, 4, or 5-point spread, the one thing that is the immeasurable phenomena is the Brexit thing. It's going to be the people that come out and vote who did not say they were going to vote for Trump, but who at the last second are going to say, oh, God, I can't stand more of Clinton's for 4 more years. And they're going to go with the unknown.
Let me just say this. I had asked folks to call in today who had a problem voting for Donald Trump so that you could respond and you would be presenting the pro-Trump position through the show. And yeah, I know it. There are people, You run into them on the street. They don't want to tell you who they're going to vote for because they don't want you to get on them voting for Trump. But trust me, Lance, I get flooded with pro-Trump callers, some of them quite rabid. So this is a safe environment for them. We've talked the issues through. But yeah, that is that X factor in terms of will people vote that are just not showing up in the polls? I mean, the massive crowds, it does make me wonder. And then I do want to get to one more call, but if you could concisely respond to this, how can God raise someone up to be a Cyrus, like he raised up a Cyrus, and then Cyrus doesn't get elected? How does your theology work on that?
And my consolation on that is why I always go to that chapter in Malta with Paul, which is, how can God give us a perception of what he wants us to do, give us the advice that we should do it, speak it out from his own people, and then have the counsel of the apostolic overruled by the self-interest of a captain of a ship, an owner of a ship, and the sailors. So I have a precedent in the Bible for God revealing wisdom for what to do and having people put it to a vote and overruling.
Got it. All clear. I did want to address that and ask that. And for anyone saying, well, Lance Wallnau has prophesied Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. No, he hasn't. He hasn't.
Right.
Just want to make that clear. All right. So let's get to one last call. James in Rock Hill is gone. So tell you what, we've got a bunch of other folks. We won't be able to get to them. I appreciate you spending this much time with us and articulating these things. Take the last minute and a half and give your last shot to my listeners as to why you believe they should vote for Donald Trump.
And Dr. Brown, this is the issue that Christians aren't thinking about. We are so, I started to say, we're so shallow. We don't like his soundbite. We don't like his attitude. I wrote a chapter in the book called Deliver Us from Trumptation, which is every quote he ever made that's been misquoted, properly quoted, so you can see what he actually said. But what really concerns me, doctor, is the fact that there are like 100 nations, depending on the United States, 100 nations preaching the gospel, that when our country goes down economically and we reduce our role as a stabilizer militarily in the globe, when we are no longer the currency that has influence to promote the right kind of democracy values for the freedom of religion, it's going to be a global setback. And it's going to reverberate all throughout the world when America is no longer the protector of freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And that's why the devil's doing everything he can to take this country down now. Donald Trump may not be your perfect candidate, but I think God's making a statement. America hasn't been his perfect client either. We haven't stood up for righteousness. We haven't, when it comes to our wallet and our peace, we have been far more compromising and self-absorbed than we should have been. And now the Lord's saying, I'll work through an unsaved man who is going to be an offense to you because America's been an offense to me, but I love you, and if you'll see my wisdom in this, I will see you through the crisis. That's how I think God's talking, and the world depends on America not screwing this up. Frankly, the world depends on the church not screwing this up, because if we get this wrong, it's going to have reverberations like dominoes in the free democracies of the world. Worldwide, the church will groan.
Got it. All right. You've heard from Lance Wallnau, his book, God's Chaos Candidate. Read it. Evaluate it. I think it's worth your time before these elections. You've heard many strong reasons why our listeners felt they could not vote for Donald Trump and issues I've raised as well. You've heard Dr. Wallnau's answers. Consider it carefully. If you missed any part of this broadcast, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And you can hear the entire broadcast a couple hours from now. It'll be posted. And Lance, what's your website if folks want to visit there?
Sure, lancewallnau.com, just Wallnau. And we just post on Facebook. And we're gonna have your broadcast up on our Facebook, too. And it's godschaoscandidate.com/book. And they can get access to the book there, too.
All right. Awesome. Hey, it's been great talking to you. Let us stand on our knees for God's purposes. I appreciate it, dear brother.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Friends, we've got a ton of relevant resources at thelineoffire.org. Go there. My bottom line today, yes, a critical election. What the church does will matter.